All right. Well, let's dive in here to our scripture here. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. We're continuing our series, A Living Hope. All of us need hope in our life. I hope as we go through 1 and 2 Peter here, I hope that you see that the hope that we have in God, the hope we have in Christ our Savior, that we are new creations, that we are not left to the past and our own sins and our own shame, but we have been renewed and restored. And God is working a wonderful new path, a wonderful new story in our lives. And so with that, let's dive in here. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. I'm reading out of the ESV. And it says this. Peter writes, he says, "Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of God remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you here." Going on in chapter 2. He says, "So put away all malice," or your version might say, the NIV might say, or say, "rid yourself of all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good." Let's pray. Father, these next few moments, we just ask that you would speak to us. God, we ask that you would quicken your word to our heart and mind. And God, we just say thank you that your word is eternal, that the word of God stands forever, that everything else may crumble, the grass may die and the flowers wither, but your word is alive and active, and it keeps us on the straight and narrow and gives us a hope and a future. So God, thank you for your spoken word and your written word. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. So today I just want to talk to you. It's very simple. It is this. Obedience leads to maturity. Obedience leads to maturity. Last week we talked about how holiness starts in the mind. The last portion of scripture we talked about how Peter said really holiness starts in the mind with our mind fixated and having the hope that we have put in the right place. But the second part, after we have our mindset on the right hope and on Christ, what's the next step in our life? It's obedience leads to maturity. If you take a really high view of scripture, we can see in scripture people started at one place. And then God moved them to a place of maturity, a place of from infancy until adulthood, you could say. But it took a person from point A to point B, and God developed and grew them and matured them through their situations in life. And today, that's what I want to talk to you about, is that obedience leads to maturity. Now, have you ever heard the word stunted? Have you ever heard that word stunted? Now, growing up, what did people say would stunt your physical growth, your emotional growth, spiritual growth? Go ahead and shout it out. Well, what? Coffee, smoking. What else? What do people say would stunt your growth or stunt your relationships? Anything else? Drugs, right? Yeah, okay, all right. No. Stunted, right? Yeah, get it. Yep, getting hit by a car, that'll help. Right. So stunted, we've heard this, right? People have said, it'll stunt your growth if you do this or that. Well, in this verse here, in this chapter 1:22 through 2:3, there's this movement we see here from a place of immaturity, of infancy, to a place of adulthood, of maturity. And we're gonna walk through this here. But as a disciple of Jesus, there is something that stunts all of our growth, and it's disobedience to the commands of Scripture. Disobedience halts us in our growth and our maturing and our knowing and becoming like Jesus. And this is where I want to go for us, is that today that we have, by obeying the truth, obeying the commands of Scripture, we actually can grow. We can grow into the men and women, the disciples that God wants us to be. But it requires obedience. And Peter here writes about this, about the obedience to the word begins that process of maturing, that sanctification process. So let's look here at a few things here. In verse 22, Peter says, "Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, by the obedience to the truth. I love how Scripture is so plain and so upfront that obedience brings a reward, that the purification of your soul by the obedience to the truth what does it say here in verse 22, the back of it says, a sincere brotherly love. Obeying God's word brings us and matures us to be able to do things that we may not be able to do on our own in our natural flesh. We all know that there's some people maybe in this congregation or in your life, it's just hard to love. It's hard to love some people, right? Some people at your work or your boss. But however, if we obey God's word, then that obedience gives us a maturity in our emotional life, relational life, and our spiritual life to be able to love and to be able to go beyond what we think we can do or in our own power. Throughout Scripture here, this purification, we see this word here used in Peter. We'll see it a few times used here, purification. But when we think of purification, we think of something that is dirty, getting what? Going to or getting the impurities removed, or going from a place that's like nasty and you know, icky. And how many of you, you know, you see mud water? Do you ever want to drink mud water? You're like, no. But have you ever seen some of those filters where you can, like, you know, they can suck up like dirty, muddy water and pump out clean water? To me, it's amazing how it purifies the thing that was dirty or contaminated. This process here in verse 22, Peter begins to talk about how life as a disciple, God wants to purify us. He wants to take us from a point where there's contamination, or maybe we look like that kind of muddy water, and we begin to become and we look more like Christ through the process of obeying the truth of God's word. And what's interesting here is he doesn't say that this purification of your souls begins by your generous donation. It doesn't happen by your generous service to one another. It says, and it begins by you obeying the truth of Scripture, the commands of Scripture. That's the crust, the catalyst for your maturing and how you become a mature believer in Christ. In chapter 2, verse 1, we see the word rid yourselves or put away. And then in verse 22, one thing that we just talked about here, we see this word purification or purified yourselves. Both seem to show an action of a point of contamination or infancy or immaturity to a point of clear, something that's pure, something that is mature, something that's of a, you'd say, a spiritual adultness. And then, like we just said already, the whole crust of this is obedience. And I want to encourage us today and challenge us is you know, how obedient are you to the commands of Scripture? How obedient are you to Jesus? Now, a lot of us, when we think, well, Pastor Dan, yeah, of course I love Jesus. Of course I think God's number one and he's the only way. But how often do you obey his commands and see that obedience leads to your spiritual maturity and your spiritual growth? Jesus reminded his followers in John 14:15 that he said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Obedience ties into love. Love here for the disciple. Our desire to obey God's commands starts with love for our Savior. Love, I would suggest love is a deeper relational and emotional bond that will cause us to obey his commandments. Yes, we are to fear God. Fear is a very valid thing in the life of a believer. We're called to fear the Lord. We are called to tremble before him. He is mighty and holy. But however, if we see in the New Testament, Jesus says, hey, if you love me, follow my commands. And out of that love, we should be willing and should be yearning to obey and follow Jesus' commands for us here. And so let's dive into a few things here. Look at verse 23. It says, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and abiding word of God. This perishable word refers back to 1 Peter 1:18, and in verse 18 he says, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Some things perish away, but our obedience to the word always brings a reward that can't be stolen, it can't fade away, it can't rot, it can't deteriorate, it won't decay like the natural elements in our world here. Peter is making the case and saying that, hey, you've been born again. You've been born again with something that's not going to rot away. You've been born again by the precious blood of Jesus. And you need to remember, he's kind of talking to the saints here, he's reminding us that the living and abiding God, word of God is always is always going to be there. It's always going to be our true north, and we have to make sure that we are obeying that and looking forward to learning more about that. In verse 24 and 25 here, it's a familiar passage. It comes from Isaiah 40:6-8, but it says, all flesh is like grass, and all of its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. Our obedience is tied to something that it's not going to fade away. It's not like we're going to obey Christ right now for a little bit, and then it's just going to bring a little reward, and that reward's going to fade away. No, our obedience to Christ, your obedience to Christ, will bring an eternal reward to you. Something that, yes, we're going to see some of the benefits right now on this side of heaven. But on the other side of when we meet Christ, your obedience to the word, to the abiding, living word of God, it's going to bring an everlasting reward and maturity in a relationship with Christ that's going to be beyond anything we can think or imagine. As we daily seek to obey the truth of the enduring and living word of God, we will see changes in our lives. When we commit ourselves to fall in the eternal principle of God, we know that change happens. We know that restoration happens. We know new life begins to be breathed inside of us. We become more aware of the Spirit in our life. We become more aware of our emotions, our thought life, our relationships at work, our own work ethic, our verbal responses. We grow in the fruit of the Spirit as we obey the commands of Scripture. This portion right here, this entry portion Peter writes here, I love how he kind of juxtaposed that the purification of our souls by the obedience is an everlasting reward. It's an everlasting process. This obedience to Christ begins now, comes to fruition when we see Christ, and it's constantly working. And just like the Word of God didn't work for just a certain time frame or a certain period of person, the Word of God is always true. It's always bringing back a reward. It's not void. It doesn't just maybe has a hope it's going to work. No, it always works. And Peter's reminding us that we need to obey this word, because it is the good news. And look at the bottom half of verse 25. It says, "And this word is the good news that was preached to you." Is that the obedience to the Word of God is good news. This, the chance to obey and to receive the blessings of obeying the Word, is such good news for us today. It's such good news that God is not going to leave us like we are, but He's going to take us to a new point. Look at chapter 2 here, verses 1 and 2. It's a continuation of thought here, a continuation of the Scriptures from this purified your souls by obedience. He says the Word of God is imperishable. It's the living, abiding Word. And he says, So then put away or rid yourself of all malice and deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander. Once again, we're seeing a second phase and thought of the maturing process. He says the first part of the purification is obeying the Word of God. And as you begin to obey the Word of God, the next step of obedience, the next step of maturity, is to rid yourself of all these different things, of malice and deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all slander. And then he goes on to the next verse. In verse 2, he says, "Like newborn infants, long for pure spiritual milk." Now, in these first two verses, the focus isn't the spiritual milk in itself. Sometimes people want to preach on that, and it's not bad, but the goal is look at the second half of this verse. It says, "Like newborn infants, long for pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation." It's this obedience, it's this longing for the truth of God, so that you mature, so that you can go to this next point of a deeper spiritual relationship in Christ, or you would say spiritual adulthood. And once again, Peter writes about this, Paul talks about this, about you know going from a process of infancy into adulthood. In this portion of Scripture here, it kind of links it all together, that obedience leads us to adulthood, and that we are to crave the obedience. We are to crave the Word of God and His things here. Now, when these few things that are mentioned here in 2:1, they relate to a few portions of Scripture. Matthew 15:19, Romans 1:29-31, 1 Corinthians 6:9-10, and Galatians 5:19-21. I want to just read some of these here. The first one is this, Matthew 15:19. And this juxtaposition here kind of reminds us, what does a stunted disciple of Jesus look like? What does a disciple of Jesus look like that doesn't obey the word of God? And he lists these things here. You'll be full of malice, deceit, hypocrisy. And in Matthew 15, 19, Jesus reminds us that he says, out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, and slander. In Romans 1, 29 through 31, Paul writes, he talks about what are these things that have to be purified out of us through the obedience to the word. And Paul says that those that don't follow Christ here in Romans 1, 29, he says that they're filled with all manners of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They're full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. He says they are gossips, slanders, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil. And these verses here really show us that if we don't obey Christ, we're gonna go back to our former selves. And these are the things that are not pure. These things are not in the life of the believer that we should strive for or that we should work for. And then you can look at 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 10 and Galatians 5, 19 through 21. But there's a list here of all the things that we are to rid ourselves of. And it's only done through the possibility of obedience to the scriptures and to the Holy Spirit. When we begin to obey the Holy Spirit, we're able to purify and rid ourselves of these things that are not pure, that are not going to help us mature into healthy, functioning disciples of Jesus here. And in verse 3 here, let's look at this here. Peter writes, he says, hey, he goes, if you put away all these things, you've craved pure spiritual milk so you can grow up into your salvation. He goes, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good, or some versions say, see that the Lord is good after this. Peter draws on Psalms 34, verses 8 through 10, and verses 13 through 14. Turn with me there. I just want to read this here as I close here. Psalms 34, verses 8 through 10. Let me get there myself here. All right, there we go. Verses 8 through 10, and he says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. And verse 10, the young lion suffers want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. And then down to verse 13, he says, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it here. And in this verse here, as he ends this here, there is a goodness that we get to taste and see that the Lord is good through our obedience. Through our obedience to the word of God, we see how it changes our life, how it brings renewal and restoration. We see the power of God working in us. And through that, Peter reminds the exiles, the scattered exiles here, that the Lord is good, that his word endures forever, and that if you crave the pure spiritual milk, you're going to see that the Lord is good. You're going to see that your obedience is going to bring a return. It's going to bring a maturity, and it's going to grow you. Obeying Jesus will always bring us to the point of experiencing his goodness. How many of us know when we've not obeyed Jesus and his commands, it's led us to a point of heartache, a point of frustration. It's led us to a point of self-deceiving, or it's got us into trouble. But we know when we have obeyed God, when we know in our life when we followed his ways, it's brought joy and peace. And even in the midst of storms or hard times, it's brought that to us. And Peter reminds us here that obeying him will bring us to a point of experiencing his goodness. And in this portion of scripture, there's kind of this trail of this, is that purification and ridding ourselves of malice and envy and all this is the beginning point. That leads us to an obedience to the scriptures. And out of the obedience to the scriptures, we have a sincere love and we're able to rightly love people and rightly relate to one another as disciples. And then out of that right love and that sincere love, we're able to grow up in our salvation. And as we grow up into our salvation, we're able to see the goodness of the Lord in our life. But it all comes through obedience. And that's why what today's thought is just very simple. It's just that obedience leads to maturity. And my question for us is just, you know, is this, as I close here, is what areas of disobedience are you stunting your spiritual, emotional, and relational growth with Jesus into those around you? Where is disobedience maybe in your life right now? Maybe there's a certain area in regards to the commands of Scripture. It's just really hard for you to obey these commands. But we know if we don't obey and don't follow those and submit those to the Spirit, we know that it stunts us as disciples in Jesus. And the goal, as we look through Peter, as we continue on, we'll see that the believers in him and Jesus are supposed to mature, are supposed to grow. We're not supposed to look the same when we started day one with Jesus, but we are to mature and to become like Christ and look like him and reflect like him. But it all begins with obedience. And so just, you know, ask yourself today, ask the Holy Spirit to maybe kind of search your heart and mind, but in what areas of disobedience am I stunting my spiritual, emotional, and relational growth with Jesus and into those around me? Where are you? Where's your disobedience hindering that? Just like, you know, we say, you know, that sometimes, oh, you know, they're that's just who they are. They're not going to change, or that they can't change. We don't see that in Scripture. In Scripture, we see if we obey Christ, we will change. And with the power of the Holy Spirit, we're not just stuck where we are, or that time and space when you met Jesus. It's not like you meet Jesus and you're just stuck there, and the emotions, or the understanding of Jesus. But Christ in you and your obedience to him, he's going to mature you. He's going to heal you. And that's the role of the Spirit, is to help us grow and to become like Christ. And so with that today, my prayer for us is that we will be quick, obedient. Yeah, Sarah. Oh, sure. Of course. Of course. Sorry.
I think I'm loud enough.
Yeah.
So I didn't have this prepared, obviously. But,
sure, no. This is good.
Thinking, so, like, this is something God's been teaching me about lately, and I'm slowly coming to realize that, I've held a grudge against people for things that they've done that have hurt me. And the example that helped me to realize that I needed to let go of it was, like, kind of like what happened with Matthew. So if you were to get in a car accident and you were caused to not be able to walk anymore, you wouldn't expect the person who was driving the other car to come and hunt you down and say, like, hey, you need to learn to walk again. Let me help you. Like, let me take you to physical therapy. Like, right. No, they're just going to maybe give you some insurance payout. And so if someone has hurt you emotionally by whatever means, like, I was expecting that other person to come and, like, apologize, mm-hmm. or whatever. And so God is showing me freedom by saying, like, yes, that was hurtful, but it's your responsibility now to do something about it. Mm-hmm. So I hope that
that's good. Thank you. Yes, right. Yep. Right. We're to obey, right. Our obedience, right. That's good, sir. We have to obey what God calls us to. He calls us to forgive, right? Right. We can't wait on that person, kind of tying off what you're saying, right? We can't wait for them to forgive us, or we have to take that a step of obeying God's word. That's good. Right. And there's things that can stunt our growth as a believer. By holding on to things, or, you know, Christ calls us to forgive. To forgive one another. No, bless God, I'm going to hold on. They wronged me, that person, you know, did me dirty. No, obedience to Scripture, where Scripture says to forgive one another, brings a maturity, brings a healing. It doesn't stunt you and keep you in that emotional or that relational time. That's good. Thank you for sharing that, Sarah. Yeah, Hannah. Right. Right. Right.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yep. Yep. What's interesting in this portion of Scripture, this obedience and maturing is never related to or dependent upon someone else. Right? A lot of times we'll blame in our walk with Christ, we'll blame other people, or I had a bad pastor or a bad Sunday school teacher or my mom or dad, what do you name it? But obedience here, as Peter tells the young church, is that it's on you. And you have to obey, and you have to ask, Lord, I can't, it's hard, I need your power of your spirit to obey your word. And that brings such freedom, and it's hard. I appreciate you guys, right? A lot of times, we've all probably have hindered our growth in Christ because we've blamed others instead of saying, no, I've got to take up my cross and obey Jesus and ask the Spirit to help me grow. Even it's hard. I mean, how many of you know, probably raised hands, you've had some hard years of growing in Christ. You've had to say, Lord, I need your help. I don't want to obey that command. I don't want to obey that scripture. I want to hold on to that. I want to stay stunted. I want to stay as a little child in this area of my life, in my spiritual walk. But that's not what God wants for any of us. He wants us to be free and thriving. He wants us to be mature adults in the Spirit, knowing how to divine the Word, knowing how to use the Spirit, be full of the Spirit. And that's my hope for us today, as you take away, is that obeying God leads to such spiritual maturity and allows you not to be stunted. We need, Siouxland needs all of you fully matured adults. Siouxland doesn't need baby Christians that are stunted and disobedient to the Word of God. Siouxland needs adults, disciples of Jesus that aren't perfect but are willing to say, Jesus, I'm going to obey you at all costs, and I'm not going to put my growth on someone else or blame them for where I'm at, but I'm going to follow you. So thank you, ladies, for sharing that. Thank you for being willing. And anytime, during the message, if you guys have something to share, feel free to share. That's what the early church did. It was a lot more of a dialogue versus a monologue by a pastor. It was definitely interaction. So anytime you have that, that's exhorting one another, Scripture says. That's encouraging the brother. That's the older, the older teaching the younger and encouraging one another. So with that, let's pray. Let's pray as we end here. Let's ask God to help us all be obedient to His Word. Father, we come before You, and God, we say thank You that, God, You do not leave us as orphans or by ourselves, but Jesus, You sent the Spirit, as You said, to remind us of all things, to be that seal of salvation, to guide us, to fill us, to give us gifts. And God, we ask right now, through the power of the Spirit, Holy Spirit, we ask You right now to help us be obedient to God's Word, to the commands of Scripture. We ask that right now that You come into our heart, mind, and soul, come into this body, this church, come into all the churches, and help us, God, to grow and mature in You. Help us to crave pure spiritual milk so that we can grow up into our salvation, that the body of Christ will be built up and established, functioning as a whole, healthy adult. God, I pray that, God, we would not blame others for where we're at, or God, I pray that, God, we would take up our cross and follow You. And that, Jesus, we would say, God, we'll obey Your words. And God, out of that obedience, we will taste and see that You are good. God, we will see that obeying You is far better than anything else in this life. And that it brings a reward of maturity and freedom and a closeness to You, Jesus, by Your obedience to Your word. God, thank You for all that You're doing here. Thank You, God, for all that You're doing in our homes and our workplaces. God, we honor You. We say thank You. God, thank You for that, God, You are working in us. And God, we just pray that, God, we would go out and spread this living hope that we have in You to everyone around us, God, for Your good, God. And we pray that, God, that Siouxland would taste and see that the Lord is good, that, God, You are worth it all, and that, God, You are the living, abiding Word, and that Your Word does not return void. And so, God, be with us today as we go out. In Your power and strength, in Your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.